from HWR headquarters. This is the 284th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Arnold.
This is Travis.
Yeah. No, that's Chris, and that's Arnold. Oh. The Backlash from Backlash. Chris,
you want to get off? So let's try this. Elias Morales Loredo on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestlingradio. One word to describe the pay-per-view. Blah. Rafael Nieto, routinely average. Jason Wynn, boring. John Villarreal, farts with six letters. I don't know how you spell farts with six letters. Brian Hernandez, so glad I've taken a break from WWE. Alex Burns, pointless. Christian Tamez, trash. Jeff Milheims, didn't watch. Daryl Hughes, boring. Elmer Navarrete, eh. Aaron Garcia, drinking. Andrew Williams, drinking. Expected. Randy, your wife.
Yes.
Predictable. Ascension, only good match was Rollins versus The Miz. And that's it. That's
you left out Houston Wrestling Radio's comment.
You're about, well,
man, y'all tripping.
WWE markets WrestleMania as the Super Bowl, right? Of wrestling. So what is this? Is this training camp? Is this preseason? Is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
I would say baseball switches Raw after Mania. After that, April?
Yeah.
May? Yeah. June, July, okay, it's going on. And
after All-Star, which is SummerSlam. Yeah, it's after SummerSlam.
Yeah. But, like, right now for wrestling, it's just, like, everything's getting set in place for SummerSlam, which is what I love, is they're doing SummerSlam, a big deal, like, the past couple years. So there's basically two halves. So this is the half for SummerSlam. They're setting everything in place. They're doing a really fantastic job setting up Money in the Bank. Everyone's getting a fucking promo. Everyone's getting a match. There's matches. There's a lot of shit going on. Man, who hates marks. I can't stand fucking marks this week, man. I'm just like, dude, why do you watch? Go watch something else. Go watch freaking UFC.
Input, Abel.
I'm kind of in the middle with you guys here. And it might be because I was having our housewarming party at the time. So we had a lot of people over. So I was kind of paying attention, but kind of also, you know, on hosting duties. And, you know our friends. They're all fucking loud. So,
well, some of your friends aren't my friends anymore.
I don't like the crowd anymore. That's self-imposed on you, man. People still like you. You just come around more often.
Man, I live too far away.
Anyway.
What was that Deadpool joke? I'd come, but I don't want
to. Well, anyway, I was kind of somewhere in the middle because when I was paying attention, when everybody did shut up and go, oh, at the TV screen, I happened to be watching the times. I was like, oh, like that opening match was fucking badass.
Match of the week candidate right off the top.
For sure. Definitely.
For sure.
I did think that there was a couple of good things to say about Nia's match. She did pretty well. I fucking loved AJ versus Shinsuke, and I loved the finish as well. I wasn't expecting that to one. I wasn't expecting the finish to finish the way it did, and two, I wasn't expecting to love that after it happened. So the only thing that I saw as a big was just the end of the entire pay-per-view, but not necessarily because of the match itself, because I really enjoyed Joe versus Roman. I thought it was a really good match. Yeah. The end was like, goddamn, okay, yeah, well, I get it. That is Roman. I understand. But then after everybody went home, we cleaned up, I started going to bed. The next morning, I get on social media, everybody, oh, it was the most terrible match ever. It was the worst pay-per-view ever. People were leaving. And I'm like, oh, people were leaving? I didn't notice. I was just paying attention to the match itself.
Yeah.
And the match itself wasn't that bad. So I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. Like, I kind of get where some things are not holding my attention. But at the same time, the times when I did pay attention, it was good.
Yeah.
For everyone that didn't like this pay-per-view, give me something from the pay-per-view that you would use against them. Besides Seth versus Miz, because we just
that's where I was going to go. Story advancement. Every match was either an advancement of the storyline or a bow on it.
Okay.
So everything was what's the word? Conclusive. Everything had just the continuity of it was great. Mm-hmm. It was a good like fourth episode of the eight of The Walking Dead. You know what I mean? Like, well, when you're in the middle of the season, you're kind of going, okay, cool. This is kind of a setup episode, but I'm gonna enjoy what little things, little Easter eggs here and there. The Joe Roman match, God, I loved it. I thought it went a little too long, but I loved it. I loved the psychology of Joe just fucking destroying him to begin with. Then the whole time talking shit. Rest holds everyone was booing, but he was just talking shit like you're a piece of shit. He was just dogging him the whole fucking match. I was watching it with one of my sister-in-laws, and she was just like, oh, the guy that's getting his ass up is going to win. I'm like, yeah, that's how wrestling goes. That's how wrestling goes. And I mean, it worked. And that's exactly – you tell a story as old as time, and I don't get – I'll never understand what makes marks happy. Because, they complain about one thing, and if you give them the one thing, they'll complain about that.
I think I'm in the middle also. But there were some things that I noticed where I can understand the negativity's point of view. The biggest thing that got my attention was that my biggest fear was realized.
Oh, what's that?
That Raw's going to be headlining every pay-per-view. You mean to tell me that regardless of how the match finished, which everybody's got their own complaint about that we'll pick on in a minute. After the WWE heavyweight title, you're going to give me a garbage tag match that we've already seen at least twice on Raw in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Okay.
And then you're going to end it with Roman, a split match from Raw and SmackDown, but you're obviously putting it on the end of the show. Not for Joe, because we didn't see Joe on SmackDown, but we sure as fuck saw Roman open up Raw.
Yep.
Yeah.
In front of certain crowds, that stuff's not going to fly. And Newark is like the butthole of New York. So everybody that from New York's going to try to get in there, and they're going to make their voices heard. The minority in this is always the loudest.
Yeah.
So if you're going to put that kind of product where you've already given us a shitty finish to people's, to their opinion, at Greatest Royal Rumble with Nakamura and Styles, you're giving us double shitty finish because it was double balls to the wall with Nakamura and Styles. Plus, you're putting two more matches on top of that. One of them, which there's somebody that people really don't want to see in that last spot. I can understand where, not to mention, this pay-per-view is 3.5 hours long now. But, dude, I need a fucking heads up. If I know this shit's going to be 3.5 hours long before pre-show, if WWE is going to, if this is consistent, WWE needs to do something about it as far as, you know what? Start every pay-per-view that's not the big four at 6 o'clock Central so that it ends at 9:30. That's 10:30 on their end. And if the big four, fuck it, start at 5 o'clock.
See, that's the thing about them being on their own network. They don't have time constraints. They can go all night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can fucking wrestle around almost like 7 hours.
Yeah.
I was there at WrestleMania and it was like 7 hours. Yeah. Know? Like, so fuck, man. It's kind of hard to nitpick about that kind of shit, but fuck, when I was 12, I wanted Raw to be fucking 5 hours.
I try to pick my battles carefully because I wanted the first SmackDown that I ever went to be live. I wished for it to be live.
Yeah.
And it wound up being live because that Tuesday was September 11th.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I kind of want to pile on a little bit extra opinions here when it comes to the people walking out. Like I said, I didn't notice it watching it because I had people over and I was hosting, whatever. But after the fact, going back and seeing all the tweets and the Instagram pictures and all that and videos of people walking out and everybody telling me that that's what happened, I also kind of have a split opinion on that too. And here's why. I personally sat on the couch while Aaron and Chris Foreman were talking about Roman and how Roman sucks. And I was like, I get it. People don't like Roman. But he's not as bad as people say that he is.
Roman doesn't suck. You just don't like Roman. That's what I'll tell every single mark. Roman doesn't suck. You don't like
him. You just don't like him. And I'm not trying to be a big Roman apologist here. All I'm saying is that wrestling-wise, he's all right. Proved. He's not great. He's not the Rock in the ring, but he's serviceable enough that, like, all right, I could give him a pass if the booking was right. And that's the biggest thing about Roman. His booking is terrible. So I say all that to circle around to this. The reason why I kind of feel split about people walking out is because of this. If you do with Roman what we've done for the last decade and a half with John Cena, it's not going to work. which what you've done for the last decade and a half is instead of being silent, you boo the guy. You have all the kids saying, let's go Cena, and all of us saying, Cena sucks. Yeah. If you really don't want Cena to be in the spot that he's at, you shut up, you go get merch, you walk out of the fucking building, you don't shell out the dollars for that.
Here's where I'm disappointed in the New Jersey fans the most. This was Samoa Joe's first ever headlining pay-per-view for the main roster.
That's true.
If you hate Roman so fucking much, you being the smart fucking fans you think you are, why the fuck weren't you chanting for Joe?
Yes.
That's another good point. And see, that's the thing. That's where I'm kind of like, on. Like, I get it that, like, okay, that's a bigger message to just walk on out. We did that at PWA. Remember when the Pride
came out? Oh, we turned our back to them, and they were like, no, let's do something better. Let's leave. And we're like, fuck.
Half of the Pasadena Convention Center walked our ass out when the Pride went out there. And that was something really cool. That it was a cool moment. But again,
a movement,
he was the top heel. And with him being the top heel, they did more things to give him. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, we voiced our displeasure in a way that made the people in charge know, okay.
This guy, and made us kind of a big fucking deal.
No, not really. But I'm just saying that walking out, okay, that's effective. But the other side of it is, are you walking out on Joe too?
Yeah.
You know?
It's the stupidity.
That's disrespect to Joe.
It's the stupidity of Newark, because you have a guy that just came back that you were praying to God, to Satan, to Allah, to whoever you believe in, to come back to wrestling. Only for his first pay-per-view after Mania back, you're going to be chanting, we want Enzo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's up with that?
CM Punk?
Like, you really hate Big Cass more than you really love Daniel Bryan, that you're going to cheer for somebody that's not even there. Two different people that aren't even there.
Can we talk about that match?
Go for it.
Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass?
I went to Burger King and missed it.
Okay.
It was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was quick. I went fast and I was like, hey, what happened?
But dude, man, I'm in the minority on this one again. I'm coming around slowly to Big Cass.
The booking on that match highlighted his positives and camouflaged the negatives. Maybe it was Heyman.
He was such a dick in that match that I forgot he was the guy that was the most over dude 6 months ago. Him and Enzo were the hottest fucking thing. People were walking around with certified G-shirts and saying, you can't teach that, and say WFT and all that shit. And now he's like,
he's big ass.
Nobody likes him.
Yeah.
Nobody likes him.
Big ass.
Nobody likes him at all. Big ass. That's a sign of a good heel.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then he had a great foil to pull off him, because everybody wanted the other, well, everybody at home wanted the underdog to be like, man, chop that tree down and turn him to dust. Yeah. Sure enough.
And he did.
He looked like the cocky asshole.
And then they protected him by him beating the fuck out of Debra after. Mm-hmm.
But he did tap out like a little bitch really quick.
I see that.
But that helps Debra, because it shows him as being submission specialist, which is what he needs to be now. He can't be doing flying headbutts and jumping off the suicide dives.
He's going all out in his new style.
I love his new style.
It's real aggressive.
He's protecting his concussions a little bit more.
Yeah. It's real, great. It's aggressive, but smart aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So,
speaking of aggressive, we talked about it earlier, Seth versus Miz.
Match of the week, freaking goddamn candidate, like instantly, dude.
Instant
classic, dude. That match is something you sit at home and like tell people about, like, how good it was. Fuck, that was such a fire-ass match, dude.
And with that match being as good as it was, I can't believe that anybody can sit there with a straight face and tell me that Backlash was the worst pay-per-view they've ever seen.
Yes.
I've seen December to Dismember, folks. Like, there was
I was at WrestleMania 25.
There was not a one
punishment.
Like,
in the truth?
Yes.
Miz against fucking A-Rod. Oh.
I mean, there's been pay-per-views where top to bottom, there's has been stinkers. Trash. This match had one of the better matches that we've seen at WWE.
Match was in the middle, it would be a solid pay-per-view. I think people would have said that.
It's because the thing that people hated the most went on last.
Yeah.
That's why everyone's saying, oh, it's the worst thing ever. Yeah. It wasn't the worst.
They would have said this. You know what? Even if the pay-per-view did end with WWE title, if they ended it the way they did, they'd probably shit on it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because, everybody's like, when are we getting Wrestle Kingdom 10? And we're getting there. Not to mention, we probably won't get that. But if we get
– I don't even care at this point. I'm back on the loving this storyline between Nakamura and AJ. AJ's got a little part of it, but Nakamura is on fire, dude.
It's funny. They both kicked each other in the balls, and then the person that had the most balls on SmackDown was Renee Young.
Yeah.
Yes.
Telling Nakamura,
bitch, no. I know you speak English. We were at Whataburger yesterday. Pay up.
Like, oh yeah, but I forgot.
Yeah. And then he said AJ's nuts.
Yes.
Wow. Dude, everything Nakamura is fucking
it's thrilling. For AJ Styles good. The fool's got four kids. It's enough.
Yeah.
And Chris Arnold, tell me if I'm wrong. Aside from the double nut kicks,
that
match better than the previous one?
Yeah, that had for people that were shitting on this pay per view, that had shades of Wrestle Kingdom in it.
Is this the best match that they've had in WWE?
Yes, instantly. Yes,
I don't know.
Oh, the greatest Royal Rumble match was pretty good. It was pretty good.
He's asking if that's the greatest match that they've had
with each other.
Yeah, with each other.
Oh, with each other.
Yeah. Is that the best AJ Nakamura match?
Oh, so no. Far? That's still Wrestle Kingdom.
I'm not.
Oh,
no, WWE.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
By a long shot. Because I was like, halfway through the match, I was like, this is the match I've been waiting for. Yeah. I was like, fuck it. I was like, ooh.
And guess what? They still didn't end it.
Exactly.
So we get more.
Come on.
They're looking at the wrong side of the coin here.
Yeah.
I was kind of halfway expecting AJ to say during his interview, during his interview with I think was it Renee or
was it Renee?
Was it Dasha? Dasha,
I think
one of the clones.
Yeah,
where he was
Dasha stands out
because she asked if he was
they
done.
Sure do.
Are you done with Nakamura? And he's like, I'm not done with him. I'm not done with him at all. Him as the champion, wanting to still give the challenger another shot because they were trying. You don't need to give him another opportunity. Why would you? You know, you're done with them, right? I wanted him to be like, hell no. I want to kick his ass still. Like,
and his balls.
It's to go on a pole match.
Hey.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on the 10-year cover song of Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton for the U.S. trap?
Didn't even watch it. Mm-hmm. But I heard it wasn't bad. So I can't
talk
shit.
I'm leaning towards the up because it didn't disappoint me.
But here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to talk about Jeff Hardy from Sunday and Tuesday at the same time.
Go for it.
Okay, please.
Jeff Hardy is, to me, solidifying his position as an all-time legend in the WWE.
That's a hot take,
sir. Was this most recent run?
How hot? Can I light this up?
His matches have been fucking great, especially since coming back from injury. His matches have been, like, really good with Shelton Benjamin, with Randy Orton. He made that one run with Jinder Mahal. Mm-hmm. With The Miz, Jesus Christ, that match went a little too long, which is kind of like a second gripe. But
when I was about to complain,
he
went for the Swanton.
Exactly.
And I was like, great, it's finally
over.
So when I turned back around, I was like, wait, what the fuck is The Miz raising his ad for? Holy shit!
Exactly. I was like, this match is kind of boring. Oh, there it goes. It's going to end. And what the fuck? Yeah, and there you go. And that's again, great storytelling and good. Pulling off of the moves, if Jeff Hardy can still do it.
Okay.
So to me, Jeff Hardy, he's just like he's earning his place, and like in history.
Now, that match for me, I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't totally invested in it.
I watched the last 2 minutes.
That wasn't the best built up match though, and you weren't looking forward to that match at the beginning.
I wasn't.
So you already had your expectations.
That match was the match that we took time out to say, hey, you want to come check out the new house? We'll give you the tour. that's what was going on during that match. But I want to talk about a different match if we could switch gears here.
Go for it.
Let's talk about Charlotte versus Carmella.
Holy fuck.
Remind me why
I'm single because of women like Carmella.
Okay, hold on. It was not the match I wanted. I sat here. Chris,
but it's the match you deserve.
What I said was I wanted Charlotte to kick Carmella's ass for 10 minutes and then at the end win by cheating. Carmella win by cheating. That's not really what happened. We actually had Carmella hang. She hung with fucking Charlotte. When she transitioned into the code of silence out of nowhere, I was like, holy fuck, she's going to beat her just like this. And I was a little upset. I was a little upset because it wasn't exactly what I wanted. I wanted to see Carmella get her ass kicked.
It doesn't matter.
But at the end of it, when she did win, I was kind of okay and kind of like, oh, I'm not sure because this kind of doesn't make Charlotte look good because Charlotte's supposed to be the greatest ever, this but beast
they,
or whatever.
They protected her with the little knee thing.
That's true.
And they gave Carmella, this is a match of the week candidate for me.
Okay.
I love this match from beginning to end because it showed, again, Carmella tweeted this morning, hey, good morning, haters, what are you bitching about today?
I saw that.
Because like, no matter what, it's just like, no matter what she does, people, she gets heat, which is perfect for her. But yeah, dude, people were like, oh, Carmella, she's not a wrestler. She's not a wrestler. Dude, she hung with Charlotte Flair, the best women's wrestler in WWE right now.
She ended Asuka.
She ended Asuka, yeah. So she hung with her. That code of silence was fucking brilliant.
The way she got into that.
It was perfect the way she transitioned into it. And it was just really badass. I thought it was a really great ending because I saw the pre-show. I was expecting Peyton Royce. But they can't come out and do some shenanigans because right. They said they were.
Yeah.
Maybe we might have to make this match iconic. Mm-mm. No. Fucking moonsault out of my knee. Bam. 1, 2, 3. Nothing to complain about.
There you go.
So to me. See.
What's that?
And this can be fixed. But I was noticing this after I was appreciating Carmella.
No, I'm sure you were.
She cashed in this Money in the Bank by help of the Iconics, yes. Even though she's bragging that she did it all by herself.
And yeah. She won the Money in the Bank with help from the Chinless Wonder.
Yeah. So I was getting the vibe that she was supposed to be the chicken shit heel from the SmackDown Women's Division. That's not what we got on Backlash. We got somebody that actually used her brain instead of her bronze and actually wound up pulling out a victory. Mm-hmm. So I just need something on the telly to straighten that out. Are we gonna do like the Carmella that actually is smarter than you think she is because she's from Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you guys are just gonna go back and forth to see whatever works just to get you through until she drops the belt?
Remember when Seth was the champion when he had the Money in the Bank and the authority was protective? He was like the cowardly fucking no. It was when he had the belt already. He was like the cowardly heel. And he had the help of the authority the whole time. So you were like, he was winning all these matches by bullshit. But every once in a while, he'd pull off a fucking
classic. Then after a couple of wins, mm-hmm. he started getting cocky. So by Night of Champions, he had no problem facing Cena and Sting for both belts.
Carmella's confidence is going to go up and up with different shit here and there. And they're going to keep you guessing, which is what I love. It's not predictable. You don't know if we're going to get her in the Iconics or if my theory is Becky Lynch is going to be the leader of the Iconics somehow. By fucking turning heel.
She's like three cups too short for that resume, though.
Mm.
Robert Metlin, welcome. Hey. Thank you for joining us. He says this. What's up, dudes? I give Backlash a solid B. Good matches, but the fatigue set in after AJ Nakamura.
Yeah. Yeah.
I took
breaks because I was watching the Rockets game too.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, let me take a break from this match. I knew what matches not to watch.
I definitely did not think it was an A. It definitely was not an A. I could give it a B minus, maybe a C plus, really depending. Yeah. But it wasn't like an F.
I didn't think it was horrible.
Everybody was saying it was the worst thing they've ever fucking seen.
Yeah.
This is what brought it from a C plus to a B minus. The musical segment.
Yes, sir.
I think that should have gone between. I would have moved the tag match with Braun and Lashley and this musical segment because you needed an upper after all that downer.
Yeah.
Especially knowing that you're going to get an even heavier downer with Roman ending the show. Okay. They should have put this in the third hour because, God, that was so fucking
all of
fun.
All of their fluff, all their miscellaneous shit. And they just.
Everybody got time.
Oh, God. It was so good. Titus World Slide. Fucking Breezango.
If anyone interrupts me again, glorious.
Bobby Roode freaking twerking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
No, and then Aiden was like, fuck it, I'll join in. And he's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, God.
That was fun.
Dude, Elias is the most, like, his character, he's doing the exact same thing. He's not doing anything different. And he's just getting more over and over and over in every city.
Mm-hmm. He's getting cheered. But he's still being a dick to everybody.
And he can still get the reaction he wants when he wants
to. He's that hot chick that treats you like shit, but you keep chasing her.
Yes.
Because she's hot.
Yes.
So, he's just...
And you're hot by association.
Wait. Did you just say Elias is a hot chick?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the scarves.
I want to walk with Elias.
It's the scarves.
Robert says that he likes your Green Day shirt.
Oh, yeah.
This shirt is 20 years old.
Nice.
Wow. April 30th, 1998 was my first ever concert that I went to by myself. And I bought 7 shirts, and this one was on top, and this one still survived.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a Duffman shirt at first. Yeah. Oh, the Duff.
They have like Duffman! Can't breathe!
They have like
oh, no!
Shirt. It was like a Duffman thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Nice.
Or the Pin Pals.
Yeah.
Nice.
Was Carmella Charlotte better than the rematch between Nia and Alexa?
I'm going to say yes. But there were good things in the Nia match. I think I mentioned it at the top of the show.
Yeah, you did.
I just kind of liked I liked the way that Nia wound up looking in the match. She looked like she was competent. She looked like the person that she needed to be as far as like in ring work goes. You know,
she looks fresh, mm-hmm. And so did Alexa for being off since WrestleMania.
This isn't the same Nia that we saw at NXT TakeOver versus Bayley when she should have killed the shit out of Bayley, but Bayley somehow...
And she tapped out to a non-submission wrestler.
Yeah, yeah. So that was... No, this she's definitely improved, and I'm cool with it. I am also... This is another part where I'm in the minority. I was cool with the promo she did afterwards.
Dude, the promo was good. Dude, fucking assholes. They're like booing her, they're gonna shut up, and like, you're just dicks. You're just being a dick to be a dick.
Well, you have 11 months to prepare because WrestleMania weekend's gonna be from there.
Yeah.
From somebody
and SummerSlam this year.
From somebody that wasn't paying attention to what the crowd was doing because I had shit going on, but just paying attention to the promo, I liked everything except for when she tried to sneak in the Be a Star thing at the very end. Like, But everything else, it seemed like it was coming from in here, and I liked it. She was kind of doing what I was talking about last week, where I want her to be the Otis Doshevich of the female division, you know, where she's like this big, strong trash compactor wrestler is going to kill you, but oh my god, is she fucking adorable. Like, that's what I want. And that's kind of what I started getting a little bit of.
That's cool. Yeah. And she didn't completely bury Alexa either, because Alexa, you know, real quick the next day was like, you know, I'm going for the Money in the Bank. I'm going to get back on my shit. And the curious thing where WWE.com announced that Alexa suffered a shoulder injury.
I saw that.
But then Nia was like, she's faking it.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, now
they're
just
faking
it. So I
was like, what the fuck? Did y'all have any fucks to give about the tag match with Strowman and Lashley?
No.
No, but I'll tell you where I will give some fucks.
If you say that Bobby Lashley promo.
The Bobby Lashley promo.
Get out of my house.
This is my house.
Get out of your house.
This is my house. I liked that. Because remember, I'm the character guy, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I liked and what I didn't like, okay? So this will probably help you here.
Yes.
I like the video package where they were talking about, he went
to
college.
That was a month too late.
It was a month too late.
Because they even mentioned the Bellator stuff. And I was like, this is what I fucking
wanted.
This
is what they needed.
Yeah.
But they finally gave it to me. Okay, it's a month late, but it's exactly,
we got it.
Yeah. It's exactly what I wanted.
So there's a foundation now.
Yes.
What do you build on it?
The promo itself, when he was sitting with Renee, and all he talked about was his sisters. I like the story that he was telling about one of his sisters beating him up or whatever, this and that.
The scar. You want to know how I got these scars?
Yeah. Like, I got it, and I liked it. However, I think it was too one note, where that's all that was.
Yeah.
If this is a 2 or 3 part thing that they'll show the next part next week, where instead of talking about his family, he's talking about learning how to wrestle with Kurt, or, you know, another part where he's talking about his dad and his military lifestyle and all this and that.
Or
you
being
know.
Nothing of a ladies' man.
Yeah.
Something
different. If they continue with it and build. He loves his sisters. Okay, yeah. I mean, it makes him more relatable, and that's the direction I want them to go. But I need a little bit more than just, he likes his sister, and that's it. Because everybody likes their sister. Well, most everybody. Most everybody.
There's two ways for this to go for me to be satisfied.
Okay.
If this is the only promo, he needs to be the Lashley Club for everyone. and give Finn the demon back. Because that's too smiley face. That brings me back to the original point. Why the fuck are you bringing back Lashley to do the same shit that you thought he wasn't good enough to keep 10 years ago? Yep. That I saw him smile more times in that promo than he ever did in TNA. And he was a beast in TNA. He was fucking, he was holding up that shit for a while before Broken came around.
Yeah. Yes.
Too much like a damn poster boy hero babyface just for him to turn on Strowman and become the monster heel that we've seen him become.
I want him away from Strowman. I don't want him turning on Strowman. I want him away, completely away from Strowman and build his own fucking character.
Yeah.
Continue.
I think that this was good baby steps in towards. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fucking corny and whack. I was like, this is kind of cringy. This is what I'm watching here. It's kind of
okay.
I don't know, but I can get where you kind of convinced it. Where like, you know what? That's fine. Give me more.
Yeah.
Give me more. I love him in the ring. Mm-hmm. He did a good job on Sunday. He didn't.
Yeah. He didn't botch. Kill anybody.
Then again, will we miss Owens or Zayn if they were gone?
Yeah.
Dude, I can watch
Owens Braun get flipped.
Strowman flip over fucking Kevin Owens every goddamn day. Dude, the flip that he
did it three times.
That last one was fucking brutal. I'd rather rewind and just watch it all over again. Yeah. It was so fucking good, dude. If we're kind of going, are we done with Backlash?
Yeah, we're done with Backlash.
Match of the week candidate. Maybe match of the week pick.
Oof. Which?
Ruby Riott versus Ember Moon versus Sasha Banks. Dude, that match was fucking delightful. And that's the second week. I wasn't on the show last week. But last week, my co-match of the week pick was Ruby Riott versus Sasha. That one-on-one match they had.
Okay.
Ruby Riott versus Bayley in the pre-show was a damn good match, too.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this match, fuck, dude. Sasha looks like more crisp than ever. It's like her and Ruby Riott can go at it. She found her new Bayley. She can like bam, bam. And Ruby Riott can just hang with anybody. I've seen her have badass matches with everybody so far. Every time she has a match, damn, she's fucking badass. And Ember Moon, she's got it. I don't know what it is, but she's got it.
Yes.
And the WWE did the right move and put her in that ladder match because she has that little fire, dude. That shit that a lot of the girls lack. She has. She doesn't have the best mic skills. I saw that in the backstage interview afterwards. Okay. It wasn't a good interview.
That's why she needs to be a character actor. That's why she needs to embrace that entire goth.
Yeah, she needs to pull back from that a little bit and go more with her character a little bit more. I'm not saying she needs to find an in-between. Mm-hmm. She needs to find an in-between because her ring work talks enough for her.
Yeah.
And just that her like charisma in the ring, she's this tall. But she wrestles like she's fucking 7 foot tall.
And you can't teach that.
So,
far it's Ember and Charlotte that have qualified for the women's Money in the Bank. It's already
the tallest and the shortest.
Well, dude, fucking Peyton Royce is right up on Charlotte's level. That's a match that we candidate for me.
Yeah, that was a good-ass match, yeah.
Dude, I was not expecting that from those two. There's like some charisma there. Like, that could be a good feud down the road.
Peyton Royce, I've always, for a year, I've been singing her praises from NXT. Mm-hmm. Much to Abel's chagrin at first, but then Abel finally kind of came around. I said Peyton Royce is a superstar and yesterday's diva. She's that perfect blend of both. And you're seeing it. You're seeing it for your own eyes on SmackDown with the promos that her and Billy Kay are cutting. Billy Kay is a fucking delight on the microphone. In the ring, she's okay, but on the microphone, God, she's got it.
I actually want a ride along of those two.
No, that would be
good.
Awesome.
That'd be really good.
Because
there's not already one, right?
No.
Okay. She just got there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
She's so quick whipped, like it's fucking ridiculous. Billy Kay is really, really good on the microphone, and I hope they do something with that because that's her strength. Peyton Royce's strength is in the ring, and Billy Kay's is in the mic. So that's that's why they're a perfectly good fucking duo.
In and Rusev so far have qualified for Money in the Bank. Which one is the most shocking?
Rusev?
Go for it. Tell them why.
I wasn't really expecting Rusev to win. I was definitely thinking he was going to be on the losing end of that match. I was sitting there thinking, oh, man, this is a badass match. This might be a match of the week candidate for me. Oh my god, they're doing really, really well. But come on, we all know who's gonna win.
And
oh,
then
holy shit, yeah. Rusev Day One! Oh my god!
After the three count, I was like,
what?
The crowd was like, what? You, I saw a dude.
I like you, but I love you.
I saw a dude with a Rusev Day shirt, like. Like, you're wearing a Rusev shirt. You should be clapping your ass off. But it was like, yeah, okay. But no, I really loved that they stayed a little extra longer on Daniel Bryan. After it was over, he was just like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
But on commentary, they were playing out the fact that man, maybe Deep Rye's not 100% because of Big Cass.
Yeah.
The past 2 weeks, and then apparently. Big Cass cut a promo either after the show or on WWE.com.
It's my fault. Yeah, I got it. I'm in his head.
Say he was saying it was my fault. So they'll further that story, which I'm okay with because I don't mind that storyline. So,
I don't mind Big Cass right now either.
Big Cass is good.
What about you? Was that your biggest surprise? Or was it Miz winning over Hardy was the biggest surprise?
That I'm gonna get to a gripe that I'm glad that the Miz won.
Okay, I think I know where you're going.
I am so fucking happy that Seth Rollins cut that promo that he cut by saying, hey, the Money in the Bank is awesome. I've been there, but that ain't me right now. I'm the Intercontinental Champion. I'm bringing prestige back to this belt. I'm going to fight. He's basically doing the open challenge, which I fucking love that John Cena did, which made me.
Until Mojo came out.
Yeah. And he got a good match out of Mojo. It was, whatever.
It's all right when I was fast forward.
As good as Mojo can look. Exactly. As good as Mojo can look. That's the best I've ever seen Mojo look.
In 5 seconds in a big orange blur.
Yeah. I did fast forward a little bit.
I watched the match.
I watched the match.
It was as good as it could be for Mojo.
Yeah. But Miz, I want to call him Miz. Seth looked really fucking good. But anyway, that takes me to Tuesday. And when I saw that Jeff Hardy was in a match for the Money in the Bank, I was like, what the fuck?
I don't want the U.S. title exactly. In the Money in the Bank. Yeah.
But my wife actually came in with the logic when she was like, well, yeah, I mean, what if he loses the belt? I'm like, exactly. If he loses the belt in fucking August or September, he's still got that Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
So that wraps everything up perfectly. But, nah, I just don't like – the aesthetics of it, of a U.S. champion going for the Money in the Bank title. That means, hey, I know this ain't the one. I know this ain't
the one. Unless.
When an expedition of gold.
Exactly! Seth, we just talked about this earlier. Seth was on such a roll with the corporation that at Night of Champions here, he defended the U.S. title and the heavyweight title.
We saw things last
match. Yes. Yeah, so what's wrong with Jeff's having his own little expedition?
I don't mind it now that I really thought about it, but no, I'm glad the Miz won. Because he's just rolling.
And I love the fact that they played us. They showed the Miz winning the contract and cashing in early. They showed Brian's video, and oh my god, I really love Brian. Yeah. Of course, Brian's going to... in the same building where he won the title with the States. He's gonna
nine.
Yeah, because that was mixed emotions. That was like D-Bry didn't win, but yay, Rusev won?
No,
but what?
It made D-Bry
interesting.
It's not all just predictable. It's just back to Raw, the main event, one damn good match.
Triple threat. That was a shock for me.
Yeah, I've been saying it for about 2 weeks. I think, Finn Balor's a heel. He just hasn't said it yet.
Because he likes gays.
He's gonna be the guy that's like, yeah, dude, I turned heel like 2 months ago. No one even fucking noticed.
Yeah,
dude. Him and Sami Zayn were fucking like badass clicking together. Of course, Sami did the heel thing and hit him back. But dude, in the ring, Finn Balor's still fucking. He shows you why everyone loves him. He's badass.
That's a match of the week candidate for me. It's close to being my pick. I don't know if it is yet. I need to talk it out with you guys.
Yeah.
I fucking love when Sammy and Finn teamed up and took out Roman.
So did everybody else in New Jersey.
Exactly.
When they fought, that was badass too. Mm-hmm. It was fucking good. That was the perfect like. Style and size for each other. And I love the psychology of the match of them taking out
Roman. Made me think, is this the first time we've seen Sami Zayn and Finn Balor fighting? Because they seem oh, that's a good match. That's a good fit. They look like that they could work well. They've been
on separate brands.
But have we not ever
NXT,
seen it?
NXT, I think.
Sami Zayn's gone.
No, because Finn and Joe would take over Dallas for the title, and Sami was his farewell was against Nakamura. I think Finn's road to the title went through Sami Zayn.
I think they might have overlapped. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I kind of.
It's maybe either way, it makes sense because they were fucking really good. Yeah. They had chemistry, instant chemistry.
Yes.
I actually want to see more of Zayn versus Roman.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was good. That's another example of how much of this is because you just hate the guy, and how much of this is because Roman actually does suck in the ring. And he was pretty competent against Zayn, particularly, that I noticed.
Yeah, them
because
two,
I hadn't seen those two against
them
each other.
Them two went at it really well.
And I was like, wow, Sami Zayn's like idiocy complex with Roman's like, I'm a bro attitude.
Yeah.
It could work.
That's a match that Vince McMahon was paying attention.
If he was 20 years younger, he'd know what to do with that.
Exactly. That's a match where Triple H, you could tell he's in the backseat. He's like, Vince died. So I can take him. Because I know what to do with him.
He's just like, you did not just wish.
Kayfabe, Triple H kayfabed it.
Oh, God.
He's going to go fucking take him to South Africa and have him to Jonestown.
All right. So thumbs up or thumbs down on Roman versus Jinder? I don't get it. All
right.
I saw something I'm going to steal from World Culture a little bit, but it was a good take.
Thief.
We are going to be responsible for this. The fans are going to be just like what we were talking about in the beginning. We are going to be responsible for this. We're either going to fucking boo. All right, that's going to be.
Okay.
We're
going to
boo Roman Reigns.
Uh-huh.
Or we're going to boo fucking
Jinder
Mahal. Okay. That's going to decide what they fucking do because – they're going to be like, oh, are they booing him because he's a dick? Or are they booing them because they're dicks? Or which one is it going to be? Mm. Choose wisely who you boo for this match. Because you want to boo both of them.
That's the equal chance. You both suck.
Exactly.
That's what we're going to hear for 20
that's
minutes.
That's the only way.
Can I just cheer for Jinder?
You can.
Okay.
But then you're going to...
Or you could cheer for Roman Reigns and come across as a guy that doesn't like Indian people.
Yes. Okay.
I like more.
Yeah, it's kind of a lose-lose, but a win-win.
Yeah. It depends all on your perspective.
I understand what they're doing. They're doing the thing that they've been doing with Roman for years. Put him against a heel because, goddamn, you don't want to cheer the heel.
Yeah, well.
But you do. But then you don't want to cheer that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're smart. And that's the most happy that's the most happy I've been to see fucking Jinder Mahal come out of him.
Could this be a good direction for Jinder's character and in-ring work?
Yes, and yes. Because it's going to elevate – him feuding with Roman Reigns on Raw is going to elevate him much more than him being the champion and feuding with AJ Styles on SmackDown.
Oh, goddamn, that's
by
a hot take.
By miles.
It helped that two matches in a row with Chad Gable and Jinder look good. He didn't make Gable look bad. Gable didn't do anything to make
him after the match, but made him competent in the match.
Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic, number one, in ring-wise, if there's actually enough chemistry there to make something of this as a feud. And number two, just to put everyone uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Just to make everyone uncomfortable.
As an outside feud for Money in the Bank, because obviously he's not going to be in Money in the Bank now unless – they do a WWE thing and have him qualify anyway. Mm. He'll wrestle Jinder at Money in the Bank.
Okay.
He's going to keep bitching about how the fact that you totally right.
He's uncrowned.
And the crown Universal Champion.
Which I agree with him on that.
And Lesnar's just, at this point, come on. If you don't believe that Vince is just trying to break.
Meme earlier today of the title reigns between Punk and
tape.
Yeah, it's like Punk had 140 title defenses and Lesnar's 12. Had 10 or 12, yeah. Something like that. It's like, god damn, yeah. Oh, he's held it longer.
And that
come
one
on.
Year, Punk wrestled at all 12 pay-per-views and Brock is wrestling at 6.
So, is it too early to say that someone from SmackDown is winning the men's Money in the Bank? Because how the fuck are you going to cash it in on Lesnar if he's never there?
You cash it in at SummerSlam. Or you cash it in at WrestleMania.
Lesnar will have a really brutal ass match with somebody and then cash in.
Listen, they did something on WWE that you guys love, that you guys said, hey, give me 2 minutes of TV time to explain it, and I'm happy.
Okay.
Paige, superior general manager than Kurt Angle in 1 week's time.
Okay.
She went out and said it eloquently because Kurt Angle can't even say fucking five words together eloquently.
Cheddar Popper. Yeah, Bummer Cheddar Popper. Yeah.
At least he gets that up straight.
Yes. But Paige said,
this is a regular human. That's Kurt Angle. Any questions?
Red, white, and blue. Oh, never mind. You used to have Pepsi in that.
I had to savor every drop of punk juice.
That was the Pepsi punch.
No, Paige went out and said, whomever wins the Money in the Bank briefcase takes it back to their show. Mm-hmm. They don't. Rusev, when he wins it, because that's my pick. This is the push that we've all. This Rusev Day, this is going to cash in at Money in the Bank. If Rusev wins it, he can't.
He can't surprise Raw.
He can't surprise Brock Lesnar. Vice versa with the women.
The Z women.
Yeah.
Robert Medlin has a hot take that just made my geek go like that.
Oh, no.
I'm ready for Miz to win the briefcase and then cash it in on D-Bry at SummerSlam.
That would mean D-Bry.
D-Bry would have to win the title between now and SummerSlam and be the champ at SummerSlam.
Oh no. You want something stupid? I'm going to tell you something stupid. Lashley is going to win the briefcase.
He's going to
cash it in at UFC 262.
He's not our truth.
Oh, no. Rusev's going to win, and he's going to not cash in and lose.
I would at least want.
No, you can't give us two non-cash in.
No, here's what we've been lacking.
No, back to back, Carmella.
And Corbin, men.
Yeah.
Here's what we've been lacking. I need one completely baby-faced to actually announce it. You know what?
We've had that before.
Once out of how many cash-ins?
Yeah.
And Rob Van Dam
twice. Cena did it.
It was on episode of Raw.
And Cena lost.
RVD played the field and knew that in his home crowd in Hammerstein Ballroom, that was his best opportunity. I would like a woman or a man to win this Rumble and say, you know what? I've been waiting for this opportunity my entire life. If I were to die tomorrow, I want to make sure that I make the right decision today. I'm going to WrestleMania, and I'm not carrying this briefcase again.
Then that's got to be an Apollo. I mean, Apollo. That's so racist.
Done.
It's got to be a fucking Bobby Lashley.
Oh, fucking Smiley McGee here.
Yeah. Oh, gee, golly, gosh.
Somebody, dude, I would even go further. I would say that he cashes it in. So it's the same main event, but the title swaps.
Didn't somebody say beforehand that they were going to wait all the way till Mania to cash it in? Somebody said that before.
Nobody said it. No, wait. No, yeah, somebody did say it. It was Kennedy. Yeah.
Kennedy. But then he got hurt the next week.
No, he got goaded. No, he got goaded into putting it up against Edge. It's like, fine, I'll put it up against you. I'm going to go. And then he lost it.
That's because he got hurt. Kayfabe, they were going to write him out. And then that next day, Edge cashed in on Taker.
Stupid fucking Kennedy.
Anderson.
Match of the week candidates is our
last fucking uppercut where you made him bite his tongue.
Oh yeah.
Oh nasty.
He was drooling blood all over the place.
Big E is fucking thick.
Yeah, he
came out on something like, what?
That's
up?
All pancake,
yeah,
bro.
Dude. He came out like,
what's he emptied out that singlet? He looked like Aiden English.
On Sunday, during that musical note, freaking Kobe was fully clothed. Xavier was with a coat. He was just shirtless with the fucking drum. He's like, okay. That's what you, all right. That's how you gonna play it?
Putting all that extra protein powder in them pancakes.
Dude, have you worn one of those drums before? You get a rash after a while. Like, you keep moving around with it. It just grinds into you.
How was that?
How's that?
How about that stipulation match for next week, though?
Oh, which
the
one?
Tag matches. They pick a guy. The winning team, one person picks gets picked from that team to go into the ladder. The
Money
the
Bank. I missed that. So
I was watching War with Travis. And Travis was like, what the fuck are they adding tag teams on these promo videos for? Yeah. These backstage shaky cam bullshit.
Yeah, there's a rumor.
Now that's why. Because they're inserting tag team representatives.
Yeah, well, the rumor I heard today was that they're going to – I hope it's not true. That they're going to have a tag team Money in the Bank.
No.
And I was like, no! Don't do that. It's like 17 Money in the Bank matches.
But – I will be redeemed if they add one team in particular, because 205, I don't know if we're going to talk about 205. Somebody made a comment during the tag match that one of these teams might be worthy for a title shot soon.
Okay.
A title shot of what?
Yeah.
There's designs and rumors going around in innuendo that they're going to make a tag team division for these flippy dippies. You're going to add some cruiserweights in this tag team Money in the Bank, that's going to be a lot of flying around for them.
Well, what I was going to say was, what could work? Two teams of Raw, two teams of SmackDown. That's eight guys. There you go.
They're three each. I'd say three each.
Or if it's just one representative of each tag team, you could have eight tag teams represented and have four from Raw, four from SmackDown.
I think that's too ham-fisted. I like the idea that they did, that they added the tag teams in the Elimination Chamber. That fit. I've been missing that for years.
Because that's been in the video game for years.
Yeah. But tag team Money in the Bank, I think it's too many Money in the Banks.
Yeah. Okay.
That's too many. I thought they were going to have three, and I was like, that's too much.
Yeah, the rumor before Raw aired was, you're going to have one for Raw, one for SmackDown, one for Raw Women, and one for SmackDown Women. Yeah. Like, fuck, man. Four Money in the Bank matches? Oh, God. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No.
Anything else from Raw or SmackDown you guys want to talk to? We covered almost.
Burp.
205.
Yeah, hold on. Next week, Synonymous debuts.
Yes.
That's gonna be fucking tight.
Tight.
T-I-T.
Tit.
It's a excellent mark on the eye.
Metallic and Dorado defeated Kendrick and Gallagher.
That was fun. You didn't watch any 205? Oh. Okay. That's fun. I like the stupid little noisemakers that they have painted with the Mexican flag and painted for the Puerto Rican flag.
God damn it.
They're really fleshing out this whole house party gimmick. And I do like the promo that they did, the Lucha House Party beforehand, where they're like, we are a party. We're this, that. Like, they're starting to really kind of gel together and come together as, like, an
entity. Still all three of them, right?
Yeah, still all three of them. So I'm digging it, man. I'm digging them as a unit. So, yeah, man, I like it. And the match itself was pretty good.
How about Tony Nese beating up some nobody?
It's all right. Tony Nese beating up a nobody.
He does that all the time.
Yeah.
Main event might be my match of the week pick.
It might be my match of the week pick, too.
Yeah. Well, it might be. Sub-Zero against Johnny Cage.
Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali.
I had a random ass take a couple weeks ago. I don't think I said on the show that I think the Miz's character is supposed to be Johnny Cage. Or like Johnny Cage.
Okay.
Well, somebody should have told that to Charlotte, because I love that split she did.
Oh, yeah, she did do that.
She did, like, the split to duck. I was like, did she just kick punch her face in her ovary?
Yeah. Man, Mustafa Ali versus Buddy Murphy was good. Wild. It was so wild.
Was it for, like, a contendership? No.
It was for momentum. It kind of was.
Buddy went in at 205?
Yeah. It was for implications, because in the back was Cedric Alexander watching with, interest.
Like this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I watch TV.
Yeah. Like that, but it was really good. There was a lot of stuff that happened in the match that, like, shouldn't happen for just a regular TV show. Just
nothing. After half the arena's already gone.
Yeah, like the stuff that they were trying to pull off in that match. It's like, fuck, man, is this Wrestle Kingdom? Like, what the hell's going on here? When Mustafa tried to do that 450, it's like, okay, well, obviously he's going to hit the – what? Oh, shit, he missed it. Like, nobody was there. Oh, fuck. And then, Buddy Murphy trying to do – or did the three power bombs, tried to do the fourth, and then the fourth was like, nope, counter out of it. Oh, fuck, man.
Like, Ali's selling it by putting his hands up.
Yeah. You know,
that's what I just said. I wasn't on the show last week, but I told Abel the next day, I was pretty positive that he Murphy concussed that one jobber. Because that third power on his hands just went like, poof, like that.
Yeah.
I was like, have you ever seen an NFL player get knocked the fuck out? And their hands are like this. That's a concussion.
Yeah,
because they're
that's like them begging for their mommy.
Yeah,
I remember that pose.
Yeah. So and the high flying flippy dippy stuff outside of the ring, getting out.
So hold on,
dude. That pop up DDT while Buddy Murphy was like between the ropes. So it like
holy
went.
Shit. Badoonk. I've never seen that before. It was
you need to watch this fucking match.
A tilt-a-whirl.
Dude, already like
in the rope.
Yeah,
it was bananas. Who won that? Yeah, I don't even remember.
It was Buddy. He wanted to hit Murphy's Law. Oh,
that's right. That's right. Such a good because he kept working the arm. Yeah. He worked the arm the entire match.
He rope-a-doped Mustafa into thinking that Mustafa was gonna hit that flip on his arm again, and he moved and he used that to his advantage and hit Murphy's Law with it.
Yeah.
But he also did like this pump handle, like inverted DDT or something on him. And I was like, holy fuck, that's a new finisher. I'm in. And of course he kicks out of two. It's like, God damn,
it's not a finisher,
we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
Michael, what's up? Thank you for joining us. He's a little bit late. He won our thoughts on Seth Rollins as Intercontinental Champion. I think we said that we like the
solid.
We like the invitational thing that he's going to start doing.
The prestige he's bringing to the belt, the open challenge, and the fact that he wants nothing to do with the Money in the Bank. He's like, that's cool, but that ain't me. I don't need that.
I'm all about the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, this perfect because I'm just that might be selfish of me. That's always been my favorite belt, and I love that they brought back when Cody brought back the fucking Intercontinental belt, the white belt. Mm-hmm. Remember, because forever it was that little fucking dumb belt looking.
Yeah,
it sucked. And Cody was the one who brought back the classic.
It kind of is the main belt on Raw because Brock's never there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's like, well, you know, the big brother is the head of the household because daddy's not home. He went to go get cigarettes and never came back.
Yeah.
You know, like that's.
When did he leave? 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Still waiting. Dinner's getting cold.
Comes back at service time. That was a long-ass line.
So, if we're having another open challenge. Last time Cena had an open challenge, we had a surprise from NXT. It was called up. That was just a little appetizer.
That's when he had torn his labrum.
Yeah. So. Like before the fucking match even started.
Yeah. But Kevin Owens was the actual call-up.
He was the champ at the time, the NXT champ.
Who would be a good call-up for this?
Man, if Alistair showed up.
No.
What about Johnny?
I was just about to say that's Sami Zayn 3 years ago when he first showed up to tease Cena, that he's that up and comer, that underdog that you think can move mountains. Did he do that with Gargano?
Seth open challenge and out comes Johnny Wrestling.
And it gets ruined by Ciampa.
Yes!
Oh man.
Hell yeah. Ciampa makes his way to Raw just to fucking ruin over Johnny Wrestling.
Dude, I'd go fucking one step further. Have that happen. I would have Gargano answer the challenge. Ciampa cost him the match. And then Ciampa answers it the next week. Somehow he wins the title. And then we get a triple threat match at that pay-per-view and Rollins gets it back and those two finish their fight inside, I don't know, Hell in a Cell?
God. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
And that's before they even show up in the main roster. That's my only worry.
Yeah.
I know the history of Kevin Steen and El Generico before they even got to NXT.
Right.
And they had already, I thought they milked that cow dry with that ladder war match. And then they start over from scratch. Got some badass shit in NXT, and then they took it to Raw, and already they're milking a dead cow.
Yeah.
Ooh. I would hate for Gargano and Ciampa to get called up, and they're still doing the same shit that we already know, but they have to redo it because all the other people that have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, that's why I don't think they'll do the Ciampa Rollins thing because there's too many people like, these guys, why are they fighting over just Rollins? Like, let's do it consequential. That's why you got to, if you do a call-up, been on NXT for a while, and it's kind of like, what the hell's going on? Who would that be at this point? Not Alistair, because he's Fire. None of the Undisputed Era guys.
Velveteen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He is. And I even did that fucking shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He is without any kind of storyline right now.
That's he's true. An enigma. You just put him on there, and you're gonna. He's gonna get attention.
Oh yeah.
And you, people are gonna ask.
Oh.
They're not gonna say who was that. They're gonna say. What was that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're kind of talking a little bit about NXT here. Michael has another question here. So we'll use this to transition into NXT.
Right.
Do you think NXT TakeOver Chicago will blow Money in the Bank out of the water, or will both be good?
It has for last, me, it did last year.
For me, it's too early to tell. But historically,
TakeOver pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But, I was at WrestleMania this year, and I can already tell you TakeOver was shaping up to be pretty damn
Money
good.
In the Bank is usually pretty fun.
Yeah.
The Money in the Bank match itself, and then, you know, several years ago.
Well, remember last year, everyone was like, oh.
That's true.
Baron Corbin and James Ellsworth winning the title. The Money in the Bank. But I think, and I hope, and I think and I hope that they're both good.
Wait for our preview episode the week before.
5 weeks will be our preview episode.
And we'll talk all about that. Because then we have a little bit more idea of what the card is.
Yeah.
All right. So, but NXT. Chris, what stood out to you from this week's NXT? Did you watch it?
Yes, first off, that's what I have a big flaw that I need answered right now.
Okay.
Give me a reason to care about Mrs. Gargano. What does she do that's unto herself that makes her redeeming other than the comment? Oh, this is the
she puts on badass matches.
I haven't seen. Belair beat Miss Gargano.
Yes.
And the announcers were saying, "Oh, this is the biggest win in Belair's career." Wait, true. So remind me, what did Miss Gargano do besides marrying Mr. Gargano? That was such an achievement.
Candice LeRae in NXT hasn't done much. I get where you're coming from on that.
Help me.
She hasn't done much.
So you know who hadn't done
except
much?
Johnny.
Samoa Joe, whenever he came into NXT, he was already a big deal because he knew Samoa Joe.
Yeah,
that's kind of, I think that's what they're kind of using as.
They're trying to use that. Yeah, I think right now it's all just storyline. I get it, but I see where he's trying to draw the parallel. It's just a storyline where it's like, okay, she's grieving over what the hell's going on with her dude.
She sold the loss, though. I'll give her that.
Yeah, she sold the loss, and I'm fine with her.
That match was still damn good.
Yeah, and it made
Bianca look like a
Bianca
beast. Was
fucking badass.
Yeah,
she just picked
that
her up.
That deadlift.
Holy fuck, dude.
A deadlift into a press, into and then just dropped her. Oh, holy fuck. And you know what was something Bianca did not do in this match? Didn't use her hair.
Nor did she do the 450 splash.
That's true. No.
She did that. What was her? That fucking slam, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was what she ended the match. Yeah.
The alley oop.
She just get
to a power bomb that goes
back. Wherever you fall.
The trash dump.
That was badass.
I'm looking forward to more of what the hell we're going to see out of Bianca Belair because, you know, she's the EST, so she's the fastest and roughest and toughest and da da da.
Yeah.
But last week. She showed me why she's the strongest as well with that fucking deadlift. Oh,
God, I love all the promos the girls are cutting on Shayna too.
Okay, yeah.
And I hope it's not a red herring. Take advantage of having a former MMA fighter on your roster. You don't necessarily have to put her against good girls all the time.
Yeah.
Fuck it. No, NXT TakeOver. Give me Baszler versus Belair.
Yeah.
And just do straight up backstage promo videos, just like UFC. Yeah, you don't have to put them in the ring. Save that shit for the pay-per-view so we can be like, oh my God, she got whipped by that bitch's hair and she still choked her out.
Yeah.
Like, give me something different.
They had heels cutting promos on Shayna too.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you before you watched the match. We've seen Lacey Evans on TV about 5 times.
Okay.
I don't remember her having a Southern accent until fucking last Wednesday.
Oh, she did.
She had it the whole time?
Yeah.
I never remember her having it.
I didn't remember either. But
I was like, what the fuck? Where'd this come from?
She didn't talk a lot. You were just too busy looking at those guys and the singlet with the pin-up.
Yeah, maybe, because I was like, where the fuck did she become Southern? But anyway,
she's been Southern the whole time, I guess.
She attacked Kairi Sane, because Kairi Sane had a pretty good match against that the other Australian chick.
A new Australian chick.
Yeah.
Shazam?
Shayna. Something.
I didn't bother to write it down.
Buzz Lightyear? I don't know.
I think she wrestles an Impact. no, she does. I'm not even joking.
Oh, okay.
anyway, that was good.
Vanessa.
Yes.
More Dakota Kai. I'm wondering what's going on there.
Because Dakota Kai got interrupted by Vanessa.
Now I know how y'all feel when I keep gushing about jokes. Every time he brings up the name Dakota Kai, my eyes roll back in my head.
That's like 3 weeks in a row. Usually they put Ricochet on 1 week, they don't put him on for another month.
Right.
Just three shows in a row, they have something with Dakota Kai in there. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, she lit the fucking internet nerd world on fire by wearing a Progress shirt. And everyone was like, oh, that's Progress. And that's another wrestling company. And everybody was all fucking going.
Which I don't know why everybody was freaking out over that, because Progress has a working relationship with WWE.
So that's like wearing a New Japan
shirt. Developmental.
Yeah.
NXT is the third brand.
Yeah.
That's like wearing a New Japan shirt.
See, you know, I saw what you're trying to do to pretend to be the nerd. Just be yourself, you goddamn nerd. You already got the shirt.
I was
glasses.
Even doing this on accident.
You're pushing up your own glasses.
I was actually doing it. Anyway, they're building that women's division very, very, very
carefully.
Good.
Yeah. Slowly as well.
Exactly.
It's good. It's good stuff.
I can admit when I'm wrong, oddly enough, and I'm going to take back. I got dead wrong, Kona Reeves. Because I had no idea what the fuck he was trying. Whatever was in the promo was not what was in the ring.
Not at
personality.
All.
And that was a complete disconnect. I was like, God, I'm going to have to eat that tonight at the show. Because I saw the second half today, and I was like, oh, no.
Nowhere near
the
finest.
What the fuck was that?
It wasn't good.
It was no confidence. It was just, just crazy.
I am the finest.
That was the worst Vegeta impression I ever saw.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
That's my Bulma.
Yeah, he was like a bad blonde guy that I thought was Juntao in Rush Hour. But, you know, Juntao ended up being the white guy.
Yeah.
But he was just like,
that looked like Rajesh Bhutrapali grew out his hair.
You know what he could have benefited from? Not having his hair wet it down and having an entrance where we stole something from a guy that we used to do 10 years ago, but you know what? Let's repackage it for him, which is the wind in the hair and the fucking slow-mo. You should have done the Jim Morrison thing for him.
Dude.
Because that's what
Mandy
had
Rose's
in the promos.
New entrance. What the fuck? That was badass.
Oh, I love Mandy.
Everything's
Rose
all entrance. Blurry. You're just like, it gets
just like your real life.
Oh. Yeah, it's all
your glasses get all foggy and you just go from 6 to midnight.
But yeah, that Kona Reeves was
not
awful.
Good.
I'm sorry, guys.
No.
I got that one dead wrong. Don't ever put it on my television again.
I mean, just because you
$5 Ray-Bans that you got it Harwin for $5.
I mean, I guess maybe that's what the gimmick is. He's supposed to think he's the finest and he's like terrible. But
yeah, maybe it's like one of those things where like I've been watching a lot of conspiracy videos where like we see this guy who's like thinks he's badass, The Rock, this and that, but really, he's not. But like in his mind, he is. Like everyone's like,
it's like they were trying to replace Tyler, and Tyler's
the worst part that they did. The WWE buried him before he got into the match. The first thing he said was he was inspired by The Rock.
Yeah,
and I was like,
nope.
That's a high.
When The Rock was wearing $500 t-shirts, you could kind of believe that those were $500 t-shirts.
I still believe it.
This thing that he was wearing was not. It looked like it was his dad's jacket. that he borrowed.
Yeah. And it didn't fit.
The music didn't
the music
work.
Was not
the fucking clip.
Of his legs together, and then he would walk around like an action figure. It didn't work.
What the fuck?
He's not
terrible.
Fit either? Like, he's not.
He's fitter than he was when he first got there.
Yes,
I'll give him that.
He is.
He needed a couple more minutes in the oven.
Yeah.
And the right topping. Because whatever he had on,
I'm telling you, wetting the hair down was terrible. Because in the video package where you bought it and where I bought it, his hair
wavy,
was flowing in the breeze.
Gay.
It's like, hey. Yeah. And like, uh-huh. He came out with that ponytail that undid, and it was just wet, and he just looked like generic wrestler. And it just didn't work.
Okay, let's gush. I can't even do the fucking thing.
Oh, TM61 finally turning heel and doing something with them. I agree completely.
I was trying to do
the era.
A metal and then broken Hardy.
No,
it's a reverse.
It's
the era.
No, because you gotta throw the E that way, because that's how an E is. So undisputed like that.
Yeah. Whatever. But that fucking, like, brought to you by the NWO promo they did.
Or EU. Fucking the Maggie awesome. Simpson.
Shut up. That fucking, the way they started the show, which is like the fucking typical kind of old school Bullet Club promo that I would see, the black and white promo that they did with Cody, where you kind of first joined in last year.
Yeah.
Typical, like, just kind of like, I love where they're playing the music in the background. Like, and all that shit. And they're just all four of them just like, yeah, bitch.
the better presentation was Roger coming out to his own music. I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck happened?
And then he
like charged up and then he bowed, and then the Undisputed music hit, and I was like,
that sick ass fucking chalk line goddamn zipper fucking jacket.
The thing on, and like, even then he changed it up because he normally puts the zipper down. He goes, look at my boobies. Yeah. This time he had the asshole little shimmy and took it off, and I was like, this is the Roderick I've been waiting for since he left Ring of Honor.
Dude, that match was fucking badass. I always say it. They can't put on a bad match. Them two can't put on a bad match.
Until you put on a microphone, but that's...
Even then, with the sole Undisputed era,
Roddy's got some charm.
Yeah.
So I'm still torn, but my match of the week, it's going to be either Pete Dunne, Roddy. It could be Seth versus Miz. Or it could be Buddy Murphy against Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
But goddamn, that was good, man.
Fuck. I agree.
I'm going to go with Seth versus The Miz because that was the highlight of my week.
Okay. I if you pin me down, I'll have to go with Buddy versus Mustafa. Who are you?
I might just have to go with Pete Dunne. All
right, we'll talk a little bit more about Pete Dunne versus Roger Strong.
Do I need to? I mean, what the fuck? Watch it. What am I going to tell you that you don't already know?
Yeah, the psychology of the matches. I keep saying that over and over, but whoever's writing these, I know they have individual writers for each matches now, but the overall aspect of this new way of WWE's writing, like their matches, like telling stories. Between them, the story that they're telling with these two is fucking bad. It was at the end of the match already, right? Because Pete Dunne won.
Pete Dunne hit the bitter end, and then everyone else came in.
It was a disqualification. That's right. That's why I remember there was something that made me not want to put this match in the match of the week because
you don't like the don't shady like, endings.
Yeah. And then the British boys,
one of them was one British.
I keep thinking the other one's British too, because he looks like the other one.
Oni Lorcan's from Boston.
Which
Lorcan?
Oni.
The Oni one guy.
And then the newly signed Danny Burch. He's officially signed. The whole time he's been wrestling there.
I didn't know he didn't know.
He says goodbyes in England to the whatever promotion he was wrestling for. Yeah, he's official.
But that's not the biggest signing of the week.
No.
WWE had two of the Infinity Stones, but now they got the final two. The four horsewomen are officially signed, all of them.
Yeah, they're at the PC.
Yeah. What? All of them are signed now.
This is Roddy Strong and the other chick, Jessamine.
Jessamine, yeah.
Yeah.
Jessamine Dyke.
Jessamine, yeah.
Okay.
So they're all in now.
Yeah.
Wow.
So WrestleMania 35.
No, Survivor Series. I do Survivor Series this year and build it up for Charlotte Shayna fast. It's not about calling up Shayna. Ronda could be like, I got my people. You got your people. Where are your Avengers? Where are your Defenders? Your Justice League?
And if you have somebody that's not ready yet, you could easily mask it in a 4-on-4 match.
Yeah. Noise.
Michael says, how can WWE fill 4 hours for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view? That's easy.
Easy.
You got a U.S.
Yeah, 17 titles.
Yeah, you got 17 titles. And then two Money in the Bank matches.
And two of them you don't even defend on your regular pay-per-view.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Okay. Anything from New Japan this past week?
Yes.
All right.
Oh yes. Number one. Both of them are falling in the same category. The next big show in June, Dominion. So Tetsuya Naito, after his match, walks the entrance ramp, and a fan attacks him, beats the ever-loving fuck out
terrible
of him.
Terrible security in Japan.
Yeah. You just throw them some rice, and they're like birds. They're just like...
It was a fucking motorcycle.
That's racist as fuck.
Put on a motorcycle helmet. And they,
it was Chris Jericho in disguise.
I thought it was Ruby Riott.
Yeah, the figure.
Why the lipstick? I don't know.
And then 30 minutes later, after Jericho finally took his mask off, it was Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So it's announced in Dominion, Tetsuya Naito against Chris Jericho. At least I know the Jericho.
The fucking shirt sold out in 20 minutes in all Hot Topic.
Wow.
Yeah. All Hot Topic websites were sold out in 20 minutes.
Goddamn. And I wonder who bought them because they didn't sell Double X, which is the size that every stupid wrestling fan has. Because you have to, not because you want to. If they had 2X, you would have fucking bought it in person.
I'm pretty squeezed into this at large.
More importantly, it is official. Last year, in the same event, in the same arena, the hour limit draw between Kazuchika Okada and Kenny Omega. This year, time,
no time limit.
Two out of three falls, no time limit for the strap. Roll.
This could literally go 24 hours.
Or it go 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't wait for this match. Yeah. They're the people that they're like the singles of versions of the Usos versus the New Day. Just keep fucking wrestling. Go. I don't care. I don't care why they're wrestling. Just
throw them back in together.
Give them a ladder match.
Yes. Yes.
This is going to happen on a Saturday night / Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So, bet I'm watching it live.
Okay.
So, you got to have Kenny finally win the fucking belt, right?
Is it too late?
Maybe
too late.
It might be.
The Bullet Club got back together. Yeah. Minus Kenny and Cody.
Yeah.
Both of them. They're still they're gonna pick one or the other.
Yeah.
So this could be
It's getting to Wolfpack Hollywood level right now.
Yeah.
Which I don't like.
Yeah.
But the Bullet Club's
fine. Hey, but that whatever it takes for everyone to get a Funko Pop.
There's nothing wrong with the Bullet Club right now.
Except for Brandi Rhodes' shoulder, who broke her clavicle and wrestled 2 matches with a broken clavicle without knowing.
Yeah, damn,
fucking brutal. But she's tough.
That's why I love
her. Naya says she's faking.
Yes,
Naya says she's faking. That's pretty sure because Naya probably broke it.
Yes.
Robert says I'm going to stalk the Memorial City Hot Topic until I get one.
My wife has a fucking Hot Topic credit card. As soon as she goes back online and order, I'm going to fucking order it. Nice. I already have the list of the fucking the Kenny Omega one.
Yeah.
The Alpha Club. Any local wrestling going on?
All right, yeah. This weekend, DZW is at the Elks Lodge in Katy, Texas. It is also going to be something a fundraiser for the local Little League. The Little League team. So, yeah, come on out and help support.
If you don't love children, don't want
to. Yeah, help support Little Leagues. The Elks Lodge in Katy, Texas. I don't know the address offhand.
Do you have to be an elk to go to the lodge?
No, because I could go, and I'm not an elk.
Well, no, you're going to work the show, though.
Well, yeah. But I'm not an elk.
Look like one from the elk from the antlers down.
Yeah. Wait, what?
He must not know what antlers are.
So yeah, come on down. That's gonna be this Saturday night starting at 7.
Ooh.
Anything else? When's ROW? I don't even know when the next ROW is.
I don't know.
The weekend of May 19th, that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So is that like 17, 18, 19?
I don't know.
WrestleFon 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, WrestleFon 4. The stream where we're playing wrestling related video games
all weekend.
All weekend for raising money for charity.
Huh? Where are they having it this year?
At his house, which is in Conroe. So, you just watch it on Twitch.
Yeah.
That's how, watch it on Twitch, twitch.tv/WrestleThon. T-H-O-N, WrestleThon.
I thought you said thong.
No G.
No G. No thong.
That joke got wore out by the second year.
Yeah.
Next year's truly.
We have an event this month.
Yeah. Comic Palooza. That's coming up here pretty soon, Memorial Day weekend. We're going to be there in some capacity. I'm not sure exactly the details yet. We still need to work on that, but HWR will be there and doing something. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to Comic Palooza.
At least two-thirds of HWR will be there.
At least.
Yes! Thank you for the segue. Good news for people who like bad news. I am burnt as fuck. And it gets 6 weeks between now and fucking Money in the Bank.
Right.
So I'm chunking the deuces. You guys have fun for the next 4 weeks.
Okay.
I'll be back for Chicago weekend, which is NXT TakeOver and Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
The preview show.
Okay. I'll be back in 4 weeks. There's some stuff I've been wanting to do on my own that conflict with this. I do that at night before I go to bed anyway. I sleep at 2 because of that. So there's a couple of things I wanted to take care of and just take the break. Not to mention, I'm gonna really focus on that Japan stuff, heading into Dominion. So
okay,
just take a little break, be a little casual. I'm still gonna watch the shit.
Yeah,
just you know, yeah.
Not having to watch it with, like, not having to watch it on the schedule is gonna be cool.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why. Because yes. I don't have that option.
Yeah,
but I will. Yeah. So yeah, take a break.
Robert met this.
Ooh! Noise. All right.
The booth, I guess, that they'll have.
Come play pinball at the Compass booth tent.
Are you guys be there?
I might be working. Yeah.
Oh. So you might actually be a couple anyway.
Yeah, but I can't. I'm not gonna let this tongue get on this mic when my bosses are over there. So unless I wear a wrestling mask or something, yeah. Y'all don't know who this Ingo Lemnable is sitting next to y'all. And I'll speak in Spanish. El borracho.
El borracho.
Yeah. But yeah, man, fucking Raw is gonna be here in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
NXT's in 2 weeks.
Dude, I don't know if it's sold out or not, but I'm thinking about begging my wife to let me go. Yeah.
Begging my wife to let me go.
If you're gonna get
the money, I don't.
If you got the seats in the top, I wouldn't even waste my money. No. There's a couple of pairs of seats on the floor.
I failed to see how they would fuck that up at the Revention, because the Revention has that seating like this. You just, no matter where you see, you're fine, right?
But that's assuming that you're staring at the stage. Yeah, the ring is not at the stage. The ring is in the center of the building.
Yeah.
So the view is not the best.
Interesting.
It's not. So either that or sneak into the VIP. You wouldn't know. You sat in front row for fucking NXT when they came.
Yeah, but I've also been at Revention for other stuff, like roller derby. Yeah.
So
you could be up top and be fine.
Yeah. Make a weekend of it. Go to San Antonio.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
They do that outdoor one there, right? Don't they?
No, it's indoor. Oh, it's a worse setup, but at least you'll have better view.
Yeah.
It's at Aztec.
Ah.
Oh, that's the other reason I'm taking a break. I'll be so fucking burnt. I'm driving. I didn't even realize Baby Metal's this Sunday.
Where is it?
Revention. Sure. I might go to Papa Roach the night before this Saturday. And then next Friday after work, I'm driving to Austin to see Jimmy Eat World. And then it's possible that next Tuesday I might drive to Austin. Dude, Apocalyptica's playing Metallica with four cellos.
What? Really?
The whole set list. Apocalyptica.
Really? Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's what they got famous for.
Yeah. And they're playing that whole album. So it's
Damn.
Yeah. How many times? Fuck.
Yeah.
You do that.
Yeah, I need all the sleepy time I can get.
Yeah.
Hey. So. Yeah, but who knows, man? Maybe we could set something up in between the Wednesday stuff. If you guys want to do a dark match for Dominion,
okay,
we can get together here and watch it.
When is Dominion?
Saturday night. I think it's in the weekend before Money in the Bank, I think.
Okay.
I think it's the weekend before Money in the Bank.
Hey, maybe while you're taking all this time off, we can make the time.
Lucha Burger.
Lucha Burger.
Burger Libre.
Burger Libre.
Yeah.
My boss has been talking nonstop about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had it. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was a really fucking fun time being there.
Yeah.
They're closed on Sunday, so that kind of fucks us. Yeah.
Well, it's the port. Everything's closed on Sunday, even the Walmart.
That's what he said. He said he drove by yesterday on Sunday. He's like, it was fucking closed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Robert Medlin will be sitting there next week.
Oh, it says that only 2/3 of Baby Metal is going to be there.
I don't care. Give me bigger Suna and give me chocolate. I'm good.
Oh, and he says he'll see you there.
Yeah! Sounds good, man.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's the show, man.
That's the show.
I'm still editing the stuff, by the way. So Thursday, Friday, after y'all record, it'll be up on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
And all that good stuff.
Month of June sounds very interesting for wrestling. That is true.
Yeah. It will be.
Yeah.
It will be for sure.
All right. Well, that being said, thank you so much for joining us. Until next week, 8 p.m. Wednesday, Central Standard Time. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Try to scream, but you never will listen. Target.